ABC Listen.
Hello, it's Ruby here, and you're listening to an episode of News Time.
Hey, Ruby.
Hey, all.
On today's edition of News Time, we're going to head to a beach to see a shipwreck. We'll hear about a clever invention giving sick kids a holiday from hospital, and we'll hit the shearing sheds for a wild and woolly wow of the week. What do you reckon? Are you ready to go?
Ready like you wouldn't believe.
Story number 5.
Right at the top of Australia, in the far northern Torres Strait, there's an island that looks like a big triangle sticking out of the sea. Dauan Island is covered with boulders the size of cars and houses, and that's kept some creatures quite well hidden. Recently, a man named Conrad Hoskin made a trip to Dauan Island to research the isolated island's wildlife. He hiked through boulder fields, and before long, Conrad had found some creatures that were new to science.
Glimpf, la-di-da-di-da.
Conrad found not one, but two new species of frog and a new species of gecko.
But I thought they discovered all of the frogs.
Our world is so big that we're still learning new things about it. Sometimes you just need to use your senses. On their second night staying at Dauan Island, it began to rain, and Conrad started hearing frogs having a great time out in the wet. One of them sounded like a metallic tapping noise. It wasn't like any other frog call he'd ever heard before.
Maybe they thought it was a ghost frog.
There was nothing spooky about it, other than the fact that it's very loud. But this frog is only about as big as a fingernail.
So small. They, didn't know how to look for it.
They probably asked someone to get their magnifying glass.
Conrad found another frog that lives in the cracks between boulders, and he found out that both it and its tiny noisy friend hatch from eggs. That means they don't begin life as tadpoles. Conrad reckons there's still more to be discovered on Dauan Island, and he's jumping at the next opportunity to hop back on for another adventure. It does make you wonder, though, what might he find on his next journey?
A shark with an octopus hands.
A tiny octopus, because it would be very cute. Or a frog octopus.
A frog octopus? Maybe he could call it a frogtopus. And a discovery like that would be unfroggettable.
Story number 4.
On a secluded beach in Jervis Bay on the south coast of New South Wales, something rather mysterious has appeared.
It kind of looks like a mask when you look at it this way.
The parts are old and rusty, and it looks like they come from a ship. I think it might be a bit of a shipwreck.
That's been down under the ocean for a long time because it's got, stuff growing on it.
Ahoy! You are correct. The rusty remnants of a shipwreck were found on Target Beach in February this year. The object was reported to Heritage New South Wales and they did some investigating.
They can carbon date test it and, see how old it is.
They reckon it's the internal wall of a military barge, which washed away into the bay about 100 years ago. It's been hidden under the sand ever since.
Pretty ancient.
Maybe it's part of the Titanic. If it was under the sand, how did they not have records of it being shipwrecked onto the sand?
Well, historical records say there's about 2,000 shipwrecks along the New South Wales coastline, and many of them have never been discovered. The entrance to Jervis Bay has tall cliffs and rocky edges, so lots of ships have crashed or sunk there over the years. You might be wondering why a 100-year-old wreck has only just been found this year. Well, recent weather conditions have moved the sand on the beach around, and voila, the shipwreck appeared.
They probably have to use a massive shovel to see the hull of the ship if they want to dig it up.
Well, they're going to leave the shipwreck right where it is. They're going to make sure it stays in ship shape And that means that visitors can come and check it out and learn a little bit more about Australia's maritime history.
Story number three.
Here's a question for you. What do you know about bush foods?
What's that?
It's like tucker that you find in the bush. So it's like meals from the bush.
Berries, fish, meat, all those kind of things.
Nyumba Whalewan woman Sharon Windsor grew up eating bush food like yabbies and berries. When she moved to the city, she couldn't believe that people weren't eating them. Sharon was missing the bush so much, and she believed that Indigenous culture and cuisine should be enjoyed by everyone. So she started a catering business called Indigi Earth, which puts native ingredients at the front and centre.
Because then people can understand what Aboriginal people used to do.
Other people get a taste of her culture so that other people can, like, learn a bit more.
Although Sharon loves putting bush foods front and centre, it hasn't always been easy. When she was younger, Sharon said bush food was labelled dirty and she felt like she had to hide what she was eating at school. Years later, when Sharon started her business, some people didn't think it would work.
If you really want to try some bush tucker, you have to go into the bush, find it, cook it.
There was a misunderstanding that Sharon would only serve up things like witchetty grubs and goannas. Sharon even hired a consultant to help her start her business, but she says they didn't really help at all.
Oh, I never got any support to help try and kickstart that process along for me.
Thankfully, Sharon pushed on, and in the 30 years since her business began, plenty of people have enjoyed her cooking and the richness of Indigenous culture. Earlier this year, Sharon launched the Australian Native Food Festival and received a Trailblazer Award at the Good Food Awards.
Good job. Nice one, Sharon.
It's important to remember that although Sharon loves eating bushberries, it can be dangerous to eat berries from trees or bushes unless you know exactly which ones are safe.
Story number two, Ribbit.
If you've ever been in hospital, you would know that they aren't always fun places. Sometimes you might go for a day or a night, but some kids might have to stay there for months.
I don't really like it sometimes because once I just hurt my head and then they gave me so much medicine.
I have no clue how it was because it was when I was two. I got this really, really, really high fever. So I had to go to hospital. They gave me a teddy bear to keep.
Damien Thompson lives in Brisbane, and when he was a bit younger, he was diagnosed with a cancer called leukemia. Damien had to stay in hospital for a long time while he went through bone marrow treatment and lung transplants. Now, years later, Damien's come up with a way to help kids who are spending a long time in hospital.
Probably like fun games to play.
I'll give you a clue. It involves getting out of hospital, but not leaving the building.
A headset?
Yes. Damien has developed a therapy program called Holiday from Hospital, where kids can pop on a virtual reality headset and explore other places through a computer-generated simulation.
She's going on a holiday, on a VR holiday.
They will feel happy, happy, happy.
They would always be like, can I go on it now, please?
Damien's headsets can take hospital patients to Paris or Rome or London, all without having to leave their hospital bed.
They would be like really excited that they get to go on it because most kids don't even get to go on one at home.
Damien's charity has launched VR programs in Brisbane and Townsville, and he wants to get more headsets into regional hospitals, including in Western Australia. If you were to pop on a VR headset and be transported to any place you wanted to go, what would you choose?
I'd go to a zombie apocalypse.
I would go to the Northern Territory because I love kangaroos.
I would go in the middle of the ocean because you can't drown. Then I'd just swim to the bottom and play Minecraft.
I use VR to pretend that I'm at home and put my VR on.
That's a pretty good idea for Damien. A Imagine how many homesick kids would love to visit their home, even through virtual reality. You're a clever bunch. Okay, friends, let's get back to reality now because it's time for...
Wow of the Week.
This story made me go wow because I never knew you could shear that many sheep, and I also never knew there was that many sheep to shear.
We're heading to the small town of Manu in Victoria's Wimmera region, where one shearing shed has been a particularly busy place. Nikki Lyons works as a shearer at the shearing shed.
Nikki Lyons should shear lions.
Well, Nikki sticks to shearing sheep, and that means it's her job to hold a sheep and use clippers to cut off its woolen fleece. It's not easy. You spend a lot of the day bending over, and you have to muster strength to keep the animal still. Nikki had a very big October because she broke a world record for the most merino lambs shorn by a female in 9 hours. Guess how many lambs she got through?
100.
1 million.
60.
According to my calculations, I think it's 450.
Oh, you are close. In 9 hours, Nikki gave 502 lambs a complete trim. Whew.
The number one unstoppable sheep shearer.
No one should pass her now.
Last year, Nikki set a women's world record by shearing 395 merino lambs in 8 hours. But just a month later, someone beat that record. Nikki got back into training, and with this new win, she sets a very high bar for others.
That will be her record in the whole eternity.
Nikki's four kids watched their mum's record shear and they cheered her on.
They probably thought, like, I can't believe my mum's breaking the world record, but for shearing sheep.
Well done, Nikki, for achieving a brilliant record. And with a bad pun, it's best we sweep up another edition of News Time.
Thank you,
TY Ruby.
You are very welcome. Let's do it all again next week.
Bye, Ruby.
See you later. Or, as they say in Gamilaroi, Na mile, which means we will see each other. News Time is an ABC Kids Listen podcast. For other awesome podcasts to play, music to move to, and stories and soundtracks for sleep, download the ABC Listen app. It's free from your app store.